We're sitting here in front of a Baptist church. It doesn't get better than this. So would you identify yourself, please, sir?
Hello, I am Graham Parker.
You are. I don't think you are the oldest rock and roll artist at South by Southwest by any means. Does that feel good?
Well, yeah, I think I heard Ricky Lee Jones was playing on the radio. I don't know whether she's doing it. She's got to be older than me, so I think there is bound to be a few. Not that many, though, judging by the names of the bands that I saw. Some of them looked like they were invented yesterday, probably. They
were.
Yeah, some fresh young lads here and laddesses. But, yeah, I guess so. I'm 50. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah.
You know, you get that beep tone thing going and you're all ready to rock. Last time you and I saw each other, and we did see each other a while back, it was with Kate and Bill on the Lost Songs of the Beatles tour in San Francisco.
Wow, I've done, what have I done since then? Probably Your Country, the first album for Bloodshot in 2003 or four, and then Songs of No Consequence, where I was backed by my occasional backing band, The Figs, which was 205, I guess, both on Bloodshot Records, and now the new one, and, you know, on various tours. You know, I toured with The Figs for that record, and put a band together for the Your Country album, and plenty of solo gigs in between, just sticking to my day job pretty much.
Yeah, so now that we're joking about age, you're probably doing a lot more and keeping busier than a lot of these young bands who think that they're really living this quote rock and roll life.
Well, you know, judging by the millions of bands that are on just at South by Southwest, it's got to be brutally difficult to, you know, get any attention these days. It's unbelievable. You know, I started in the 70s where you signed an album deal and it was with a major record and the money kept going up every record and they kept you for four albums even if you stiffed. You know, so that was a much easier time, in fact, really. Especially in a way for me because there was prog rock ruled and I obviously wasn't that. So people paid attention. It's like, oh, something different is happening here, you know. But now it's like, what is different? You've got to be extremely different, or self-consciously weird, at least, as I like to put it, to stand out. Some people are just real good and they stand out. But, yeah, I think, you know, I'm still, you know, I've got a great solo gig thing going, mostly on the East Coast, where people know they're going to get a very varied show. There's going to be more jokes and songs. You know, I'm a bit of a stand-up comedian. So that's a real good thing. It's been a good thing for me. And those shows keep rolling in nice, interesting kind of gigs here and there. And then, you know, when I got a record out, like the new record, I'm going to be touring with some musicians, do a band tour, which is, you know, getting next to impossible these days. It's very, very hard to play club level and, you know, take a band around without it being, you know, miserable circumstances. But the only thing that saves you is being on stage in front of an audience. That's always the buzz. That's what it's about, you know.
I think everybody kind of always kind of crosses their eyes when they're reading and it says, you know, Graham Parker, you know, New York. So how long have you had your adopted home? Less taxes, perhaps?
I've had a place in Manhattan in the, like, 1980. And then moved to upstate New York in the Catskill Mountains in 88. And I've always maintained a flat in London. All that traveling, I'm kind of over it, you know. So I don't sort of go back and forth all the time. I'm just basically here. And I get enough gigs to pretty much satisfy my gig mojo in America. So I just, I like America. What can I tell you?
Like I said, less taxes. And then
England's another story. Yeah, we're getting up there with Liechtenstein and Switzerland, you know.
Okay, the album. Let's start with the title. Now, we shouldn't tell Columbus that you discovered America, you know, because I know that we didn't discover you. America did not discover Graham Parker, that's for sure.
Well, some did.
Well, no, I don't. I don't. Oh, but you see, you write the questions, and then you don't think of all the ways that someone like you, of all people, I have to remember this. We've talked before. Let me put it another way. You're taking credit for discovering America, aren't you?
That song has no great depth to it. It's all humor, really. I mean, the second bridge is, they dammed the Yangtze River, damn it, they'll be held to pay, but I guess that's what you do when the Yangtze River gets in the way. Nothing to do with the rest of the song.
So actually, what you're basically saying is that people have to listen to the damn lyrics on a Graham Parker record when they're not used to doing that these days, because it's a la, 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 la.
Well, yeah, you know, I kind of like La 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 as well. I'm not a great lyric fiend. I think a song is a dynamic kind of structure. And I don't really care if somebody's got anything to say, as long as they say it and it rocks, you know, and it sounds and feels good. But if you're listening to me or, you know, some of my peers, the greater people like Dylan and what have you, you know, you need, obviously, the lyrics play a great, great role in it. And many of the songs on the new album are a little bit more serious and deeper than I Discovered America. That's a fun one, but, you know, there's always a few twists. I throw a few bombs in there every now and again.
Oh, yeah, and we're going to go there. We're going to take you through it a little bit. Then you head for England's Latest Clown, easy for me to say. Now, is this the most recent in a series of Latest Clowns in England?
Well, I guess you know who I'm getting at.
But tell my audience.
Well, you know, about a couple of years ago, I read this article in the New York Times about this guy from a band called the Libertines and the Baby Snatchers or something.
That'd be Baby Shambles, yes. Yes, our friend Pete Doherty, who then was with Kate Moss. And
right, I'd never heard of him. I never heard of the band and still haven't heard their music. And I'm going to try and keep it that way. I think that's a really good thing. And he was obviously the latest oasis in England, the guy who's always screwing up. I mean, he'd been arrested for breaking into his bandmate's apartment and stealing things. And he's on drugs, and it's all the usual heroin and crack, and he's a complete screw-up. His manager's scratching his head saying, I don't know what to do with him. But the guy's dating Kate Moss. So it looked to me like, from the perspective of people like us who sit at home and, you know, eat potatoes and watch the media, you know, we live vicariously through these kind of people. It seemed like to me he had everything. It's like, what a great life, you know. This is, so I kind of really just took him as a, you know, the kind of the coat hanger you hang it on. So it's obviously not about Pete Doherty. It's about our reaction to those kind of people, our way of living through them, and almost, you know, being jealous of what they've got. Because they got Kate Moss, I guess. You know, whatever.
Yeah, no kidding. Right, exactly.
A real catch, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So I just took that and extrapolated, and off I went to the races. But, of course, to people who know about him, it's obvious who I'm bouncing off of, you know. But he is only a bouncing off point, you know.
For many of them. So I'm not very good at geography. Here's a record. You ever see this thing?
Yeah.
Tell me about the map.
Well, you know, there's a song here called The Other Side of the Reservoir, and it's kind of a key piece. It's like 8 minutes 20 long, and it's pretty big-ass song. And because I live in the Catskill Mountains near the Ashokan Reservoir, that I bounced off of the idea of that, because people used to live where the Ashokan is in the late 1800s, 1910, 1920, and New York City moved them out just like without much ceremony to put a reservoir there. And some people were still alive, and at least until recently, you know, were little kids, grew up in that valley, and, you know, go back and look at it. And there's a film about it, a great film. I forget what it's called, but it's all about the making of the reservoir, and you look it up online. And so I wanted to get some of the imagery of the area, sort of satellite imagery. So I told the art director to get that kind of feel going, you know.
You recorded in Hurley, the glamorous Hurley in Chatham, New York.
Yeah, Hurley is near Woodstock, and Chatham is a bit further up near Albany.
Right.
Yeah.
And you co-produced with The Figs. So,
with Mike Gent.
Now, we've talked... Right, so we've talked quite a bit about them a little bit, but tell me about the band and how you came to, you know, coordinate with them.
Yeah, I met them in the early 90s, and they were playing the same room as me, and they were doing a late show. And I was just playing solo, and they hung out on my sound check and impressed me with their knowledge of my music. And I just said, send me a CD sometime, and I checked it out. And a year or two later, I'd written Acid Bubblegum. That came out in the 90, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. You'll know better than me, or you'll be able to, I can't remember. And so I called them up and said, you want to be my backing band? I thought they were in their 20s, and, you know, I was 40-something. And So that's the way it's been. And every now and again we play. And Mike, who's the guitarist in the Fix, plays drums on this new record because he started off as a drummer.
Let's just go a little deeper. There's a lot of travelscapes and a lot of politics. There's reservoirs, there's bridges, there's rain, you know, but there's a lot of metaphors for the world, I suspect, on your mind. Would I be correct there?
I don't know. You know, you throw this stuff together and you don't really think about it until you hear it back when you've mixed it. And then you think, this man is a schizophrenic. You know, basically, it's just like how much madness can be in one person's head. It's all in here. There's a lot of different stuff. Some of it will be fairly recognizable to GP fans. You know, Stick to the Plan is a obvious fun
yes.
one.
Yes.
A savage indictment of whatever's going on right now.
Whatever is going on right now.
Political arena.
Yes.
And then there's very personal, emotional songs that aren't necessarily about me, like The Other Side of the Reservoir. You know, the songs with a bit of the deeper social commentary about the state of our minds, England's latest clown, and, you know, very rich kind of love songs, I hope, as All Being Well, the last song in the album.
These young bands, what when they come up to you and say, Mr. Parker, you know, old man of rock and roll who we revere, what do you tell them?
Well, usually I don't get much time to talk to them, you know. I just, I certainly don't give anybody any advice because I've never taken any advice in my life. And it's done me well, really. So I wouldn't give them advice. Just, you know, enjoy yourself. I mean, okay, if there's any advice, you know, stick with your guns, you know, do what you feel is right and that's it. And most bands have to sign with indie labels, so it's not like they've got some A&R person saying, yeah, we got to sell a million on this one. We're going to get some different producers. And they, you know, they haven't got money for that. It's like going to the cheapest studio and do your bit, guys, you know. So that's what you should do, you know, just stick with your guns and do it. And, you know, usually they don't ask me very much. They just sort of get all shy around me, which is kind of funny, and you know, ask for an autograph and that's about it.
Yeah. So I've been very lucky because I've gotten to interview you, and I've gotten to interview Nick, and I've gotten to interview Dave over the years. But tell me, just when you think about those days, when you think about the Brinsley Schwartz days and, you know, pub rock and all of that, you know, how do you think back on it? Because here you are today and you're still doing it. So when you're kind of in that, you know, that haze where you're just kind of thinking about it, what's the thing that comes top of mind to you?
I think it was a tremendous excitement because, you know, I get all this pub rock nonsense ladled onto me. And
what the hell was that,
well,
anyway?
You know, some of the guys I played with were allegedly in what they call pub rock bands, more in retrospect than anything. And I just was in the suburbs of England and, you know, just sent tapes around. And one of them got to this guy, Dave Robinson, who managed some of these bands. So suddenly I've got a band of musicians around me and I don't know anything about pub rock. I'm just hearing it and finding out that that's what these people are. All I know is they play really great and they're in an aggressive mood like I am. They want to change music. You know, they're really into that idea and they follow me completely. And I learn a lot from them. And within a very short time, I get a record deal. I mean, I had one song played on the radio, a demo, and Phonogram call up, and they say, who is this guy? We want to sign him. So it was instant for me. I didn't do what a lot of these people do, which is play in pubs for years. You know, basically, I did two gigs in pubs in 1975, and then I went on tour with the band Ace, playing theaters and colleges. I was suddenly on a big stage. So I didn't pay my dues. I'm paying them now.
What do you think to yourself when reviewers write things that they did? I read a review here and I couldn't wait to ask you. It's his best album since Squeezing Out Sparks.
Well, I love that. You know, I mean, I think it's, I'm very keen on this album. I think it's very powerful. And I think there's been some very good ones that have come real close. Mona Lisa's Sister, Struck by Lightning are two special ones, I think, for me. Oh, yeah, we got a float going by. We're in Austin, folks, okay? It's happening here. There are girls in shorts on this, yeah, float. Okay, but I think I'm very pleased with the record. I think it's up there among the strongest and most interesting. So, you know, Squeezing Out Sparks, I was still under 30 then, so you can't get as good as you were when you were under 30. Let's get that straight.
This is not possible.
Not possible, man.
But I mean, what is it, you know, as you approach this age of 50, blah, 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 and you are hearing all this music surrounding you, even at a place like this, and do you say to yourself, you know, my gosh, I was influenced by so many bands that got me to where I was, and now here I am, and I have influenced so many bands. Do you look at those bands and are hopeful for them maybe to influence so many bands?
Yeah, what's interesting is that the standard classic rock and roll song with many different guises is still the same. You know, it looked like in the 80s when there was, you know, a bit techno and those cold, icy productions came along. It was like, okay, this is it now. You know, rock and roll, the real rootsy stuff is, you know, where, how can that come back? And that's what it all is now. You know, it basically, you go out looking like a 60s band and sounding like it, and everyone thinks, wow, that's fresh. You know, or a 60s or 70s band. And what I got it all from was from 60s, the Beatles, the Stones, and what have you, you know. Dylan, you know, and that's, it's amazing to see, you know, a guy who's 18, 20 is probably doing something like that. It may have a kind of, you know, more of a, what you would call an indie rock or an emo or whatever kind of thing going for it, but it's essentially, they're doing 3.5 minute songs with multi-influences, which is what I was doing in 75, and I was doing it because I wanted to destroy progressive rock.
You did a good job of that.
Progressive rock I loved in a few years before, but then suddenly it was very outdated. And that's what I wanted to do, destroy it and start the 3.5 minute rock song in the tradition of those rock and roll bands and the British Invasion. And it's amazing to see it 30-something years later, and that is the kind of the standard almost. You know, that's the building block.
Well, what's amazing to me is I'll throw on Hold Back the Night, or I'll throw on, you know, Shoes or whatever it is, and the phone always rings, and it's only one of two calls. I can't believe you're playing Graham Parker, or who is that?
It's one of the two. That's great. That's a good reaction. I like that.
But the who is that is then, where can I get it? Is there an album out?
Look for grahamparker.net. That's the website, and from there, spread out and go viral on me. Go viral on my ass.
So what's next?
What's next? Starting 19th of April, a tour with my band, who are dubbed the Latest Clowns, of course.
I love it. Who's in the band?
Mike Gent from the Figs, who's playing drums. Ed V, I haven't learned to pronounce his name yet. He's in a band called The Gravel Pit. Plays with Mike Gent and the Gentlemen. Brett Rosenberg, who was a Fig du jour on the last Figs tour, an added guitarist, young guy. He wasn't even born when my first album came out.
Oh,
Brett Rosenberg, very good. And Scott Janowitz, I believe, we've just collared for keyboards.
Yes.
Brother of Bill.
Bill.
Yeah, I believe Mike Jens just got him involved. So we got a band with keyboards playing the East Coast. Can't afford to take it to the West Coast. Sorry, I've got to become more popular, folks, and more money being thrown at me. Buy more records. after 30 years, I'm still shamelessly promoting things. So me and Mike might come to the West Coast to do a duo tour, which we did a year or so ago.
Nice.
He plays guitar and I play, you know, guitar.
Well, thank you for taking the time. As always, it's been thrilling and you know, and really truly a religious experience.
Absolutely.